One candidate is seeing a sizable decrease in support. California Senator Kamala Harris slipped 12 points from a similar poll back in June when she had that standout debate performance against the former vice president. Now, I know it is early, and there is certainly a lot of time for these numbers to change, but for a candidate who was initially shaping up to be one of Biden's biggest challengers, that decline sends a message. So let's start there with CNN Chief Political Analyst Gloria Borger. Good to see you, Gloria.
Good to see you, Brooke.
What do you make of this slip on Senator Harris's numbers? Why?
Well, I think, first of all, she was kind of like this souffle that rose after she took on Joe Biden during that first debate. She did really well, and people said, wait a minute, I'm going to give her another look. And what happens when you get a second look is you go under a magnifying glass, and you either continue to rise, or you plateau or deflate, not to carry the souffle metaphor too far. And I think that what's happening with her is effectively people are saying, wait a minute, how about describing your record on crime when you were a prosecutor in California? You were tough on crime, not a bad thing, but now you're saying that, well, Joe Biden was too tough on crime, so are you a bit of a hypocrite there?
I've got something to say to the shea butter biscuit bootlicks, to the white supremacists and Kamala Harris supporters and other forms of assorted garbage who like to troll my channel and like to think that they're being slick. It was not lost on me at all that among the people who most hate what it is that I have to say, there's an unholy alliance between the white supremacists and the black feminists. There's just this unholy alliance that formed. And the reason why is the feminism movement was an invention of white supremacy. And there were a lot of black women who jumped on board with it. And that being the case, whenever you are fighting against white supremacy, well, you're going to find that there's going to be a whole lot of angry white supremacists and a whole lot of black feminists who decide that they're going to take pot shots at you. They figured that they were going to stop me because I was one of, if not the first person to start banging the drum against Kamala Harris way back in 2017. After she made it to Congress, it was obvious to me that she was going to run for president. She was very poor at telegraphing what her plan was. She had no permanent plans for the Senate. She was just going to do like Barack Obama, stick her head in the door and then immediately declare for president. And I knew that this woman had not done a damn thing for black people. And I did not want anyone to lose sight of that. I wanted to make sure that nobody forgot about it. So I started banging the drum with my classic video, The Deadly Deception of Kamala Harris, before most of you even knew who the hell she was. I started banging that drum and been banging it steadily ever since. Now, there were those who thought that they were going to find a way to stop me from saying these things. They could see the impact it was starting to have because once I stepped across that line, others joined in. And the steady banging of the drum reached a deafening crescendo at the beginning of this year. Joy Reid was taken by surprise. The white media figured, well, if we don't say anything about it, it doesn't exist. And they found out that there's a whole world that exists outside of the cozy confines of their sound stages and their network studios. Although they didn't care what it was the black community had to say, the black community made its feelings manifestly clear. And who was leading the charge? The new voices of black media. That's who. We made our presence excruciatingly felt. And Kamala Harris was chopped off at the knees before she even got running. Soon as she announced her candidacy, the new voices of black media were there to say, hold on, pump the brakes. We're going to tell you about Kamala Harris. She figured, no, I got the white media, I got Joy Reid, and I got CNN, I got the DNC. I'm going to tell all sorts of lies about myself. Like, no, we're going to tell the truth about you, the black truth. And in only a couple of days, Kamala Harris found out that she hit an iron wall. Yeah, and that wall was big and black. So what happened was she went running to the white media. They couldn't help her. She went running to her sorority chums. She was trying all the golden oldies. every sort of circumvention of the black community, every way that you could, every end run around the black community. She was dragging out a bunch of pulpit pimps, and she went to the historically black colleges and universities. Just the classic old tactic of, let me get all these empty nothings who never did anything for black people, and they're going to vouch for me, and the black community will come around because, well, they're going to have a bunch of black folks saying to vote for me, and that will be the end of that. But it wasn't the end of anything except for her campaign. She didn't seem to realize there had been a seismic shift in the black community. Finally, we had reached the tipping point, the one that I and all the other New Voices of Black Media have been fighting for a decade. At long last, we have reached that critical mass of black people who are on board with a real hardcore black empowerment message. And the first step of black empowerment is to clean house. All these people who've been pulling the old game and they were going to talk around us, use us to catapult them to the higher echelons of white power, that they were going to use us as their foundation. The old game of, we're going to go to the black community and we're going to name drop. I'm going to name drop Dr. King, and I'm going to name drop Shirley Chisholm, and I'm going to be at a historically black college, and the black community, we're going to let their imaginations fill in the blanks. See, I'm not going to actually say anything about what I'm going to do. I'm not going to say anything at all. I'm just going to talk around the issues. And if anyone brings up anything, well, I've got my own patented, tried and true, at the ready talking points that I'm going to use to dodge around it. Hey, if it worked for Barack Obama, it'll work for me. Well, there was the New Voices of Black Media had not reached a critical mass of black folks when Obama was in office. But now we have. Ever since Agent Orange took office, there's a lot more black folks who are now open to the message. And Kamala Harris was not able to get away with the old tricks. We were there to confront her with her record and to make it clear, no, you're not going to explain it away. And all of her garbage, she thought that she was going to come up with a talking point because she couldn't deny what she had done. She had spent her entire adult life waging a war against black people, weaponizing the law against black people. And meanwhile, white offenders, especially the well-heeled, deep-pocketed white offenders, they were just allowed to be let go, and Kamala Harris had nary a word to say about it. When we confronted her about how she weaponized truancy laws against single black mothers, she thought she was going to get around it by saying, I held the system accountable. We kept pointing out, nah, it wasn't the system that she was locking up. It was single black mothers. That's who she was going after. And when she was confronted about overcrowding in California prisons, she wouldn't even touch that one. When she was confronted about how she weaponized the law to go after marijuana use, but of course it was only the black ones, the black marijuana users that she seemed to go after, by and large, she wouldn't even touch that one. We were the ones who kept reminding people and kept reminding people that Matrice Richardson lies in a grave, and her killers not brought to justice because of Kamala Harris. And the black feminists have no problem with that. See, the black feminists are very concerned about the safety and well-being of black women if they think that the white feminists will give them a pat on the head. But when you point out, hey, here's a black woman who was killed, and the last people who she was in the clutches of was the LA deputy's office, and the medical examiner's office, clearly there was some sort of impropriety going on there too, but Kamala Harris looked and said, well, they got badges, and you know how I feel about people with badges. You can go all the way back to her San Francisco DA days with that one. The San Francisco Public Defender's Office told her, give up the list of the dirty cops who you've been hiding evidence for, and she said, to hell with that, I'm not giving up any names. So Kamala Harris's record was long-standing, but it wasn't well-established because there wasn't a black media out there to keep it in front of black folks. And Kamala Harris thought that she was going to use the black community as her voter base. That was her plan. She has to have a voter base. She got to have a critical mass of Democrats so she could always say, well, at least I've got somewhere around 10%. She could have come out of the gate roaring if she had had the black support, but she didn't. We cut her off at the knees from the jump. And eventually, she was talking to CNN, and she couldn't really explain her low poll numbers among black voters. Why is it that you are, by your own admission, the only black person in the race, and yet the black community ain't with you? She had to confront, she had to face up to that and saying, well, Joe Biden has greater name recognition. Well, that may be the case, but it doesn't explain the fact that you're so far behind among black voters. If you're not number one, you at the very least ought to be a strong number two. And instead, you're so far down the pack, it ain't even funny. Kamala Harris always had a slick line to try to talk around her horrifying, reprehensible record. Or to talk around her pitiful poll numbers. But we kept on banging that drum. Now, for the clowns out there who thought that if they could take down Professor Black Truth's channel, that was going to help Kamala Harris and that was going to make all this go away. This Professor Truth guy, he's been the main offender. He's been the one just coming out against her. He's been banging the drum more than anyone. Well, okay, congratulations. You took down my last YouTube channel just out of curiosity. How's that worked out for Kamala Harris? Oh, her numbers are skyrocketing now, aren't they? Without that mean old Professor Black Truth out there, her numbers are just going to hit the sky and there's not going to be anyone reminding the public, especially not the black community, of her numbers. And she's going to have a fighting chance and, oh, wait. And no matter what the white media or certain Democrat operatives out there who have their own horse in the race may try to tell you, the only reason that Tulsi Gabbard had the nerve, and I say nerve in a general sense, not necessarily derogatory sense, but the only reason that she managed to scrounge up enough guts to take a swipe at Kamala Harris and to bring up her record was precisely because of the fact that we had been out there doing it. She knew that Kamala Harris was higher than her in the polls. But she also knew it wouldn't take much to knock Kamala Harris over, and nobody had the guts to go at Kamala Harris because a lot of them were second and third guessing themselves. But Tulsi Gabbard understood that she didn't have the support of the black street. So when she decided, okay, let me go ahead and take my run at Kamala Harris and see what happens, when that black audience in Detroit applauded for Tulsi Gabbard, she was like, oh, I'm on the right track. She started off being meek at first because she didn't know what the black audience was going to do. But as soon as she saw, oh, so the black votes at least with me that Kamala Harris is not popular in their eyes. They got problems with her. As far as she was concerned, now I can go whole hog. But the only reason that she had enough nerve to even try a stunt like that was because of the fact that she had seen what the new voices of black media were saying. The black vote has always been the base of the Democratic Party for the last 90 plus years. Without the black vote, the Democrats don't get in the White House. And when it comes to people like Barack Obama and Tulsi Gabbard and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, without the black vote, you don't have a voter base. Because all the rest of them, what are you going to be doing? Talking to white millennials? Yeah, who are about 50-50 split between Republicans and Democrats. If you try to go for these other so-called marginalized groups, then what's going to happen is they're too small to matter. They don't have enough numbers. The LGBT community may have money to give you, but at the end of the day, the money's supposed to be used to get votes. The LGBT community can give you money, but they don't have the critical mass of votes. You need numbers. That can only come from the black community. And the black community is making it clear. Our vote is up for sale, but we've already set the opening bid at $20 trillion. Tulsi Gabbard is not willing to put in a bid, hence she will not have the black vote. Joe Biden, if you think the white media is surprised at the fall of Kamala Harris, their eyes are going to be bugging out of their empty heads when they see how Joe Biden resumes his downward fall. And I told you guys about that. I tracked the numbers for that scumbag back in January before he even announced his candidacy. I told you how far behind he was. I told you he would get a slight bump after he announces, and then after that he would steadily trend downward, and that's exactly what's happened. I also told you that Kamala Harris calling out Joe Biden, that was not going to be cute among white voters. And without black support, Kamala Harris was merely setting herself up for a fall. And that's exactly what happened. The black media is putting some pain on the Democratic contenders. And the white media is looking and going, we don't really have an answer for this. And indeed, they don't. You saw what it was CNN was saying. They were trying to put a pretty face on it. Well, you see, after she took on Joe Biden, people started taking a second look at her. When you take a second look at her, what you see is her record on crime. And they made sure to say she was tough on crime. Not a bad thing. Yeah, see, that is the Caucasian Nazi network hard at work trying to say, yep, we know what she was doing, the war on black people. She weaponized the law against black people. Not a bad thing. See, they weren't about to point out, gee, this is the same CNN who I showed you the graphic. CNN was the one pointing out that Kamala Harris had little support in the black community. So why didn't Gloria Borges say anything about, hey, she never had the black vote? They didn't say anything about it because they don't want to point out that the black community decides who becomes president and who doesn't. The road to the White House runs through the black community. And these days, the ones who are acting as the traffic guard at the intersection of the White House and the black community are the new voices of black media. And what's happened is we made the decision that Kamala Harris would be made to pay for her sins and crimes against us, and she would have to pay for it at this very moment. And don't be surprised if Kamala Harris suddenly finds that all that California donor money that she was having dries up. And those organizations that were supporting her for the Senate, don't be surprised if she becomes a one-term wonder. If she only has one term and gets voted out, don't be surprised if that happens. White supremacy has no need for a tool that doesn't work. And we are showing that Kamala Harris is a tool that's not going to be effective at misleading the black community. And on top of that, she's become a lightning rod. So they're going to want somebody who doesn't have so much dirt on them, so not so much mud, somebody who doesn't bring so much baggage with them, someone who the new voices of black media will not immediately be able to turn anathema to the black community. That's what they're going to try. But what they don't understand is this is not about white power trying to find some candidate who they think they can hoodwink us with. We've already established what our criteria happens to be for somebody calling themselves trying to appeal to us. First of all, do we know you? Oh, you're just somebody who might as well have dropped off the moon. You might as well have come down with the last drop of rain because we didn't know who the hell you were until either the white media or the Democrats or some well-heeled, behind-the-scenes, shadowy political operatives decide to present you to us. Like Barack Obama, like Cory Booker, like Kamala Harris. If white power brought you to us, if the white media brought you to us, if the white political establishment brought you to us, then we aren't going to fool with you. You have already shown that you've committed strikes number one and two. One, you were not somebody who came from among our ranks. Two, you damn sure didn't come to us and say, here's what I'm going to promise to the black community in exchange for your vote. So that means you're damn near out before you even begin. Kamala Harris's complete and thorough collapse, it's not a surprise to anyone other than the white media. And what surprises them is that the black community brought this about. They just knew that the black community was going to go for the okey-doke, that we were going to get back on the treadmill, and they needed for us to reestablish that. They needed to reestablish that they could control the black vote. Or rather, they could control the black political momentum. Political momentum not meaning political in the sense of left-wing, right-wing, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. I've taught you and continue to teach you political in the pure sense of the term. What does politics actually mean? It means the distribution of power in a given setting. There's all kinds of politics, office politics, bedroom politics, family politics, lots of forms of politics, because there's always an uneven distribution of power in any setting. Electoral politics is just one aspect of politics in general. And what we showed was we're starting to understand the necessity for political maturity. We're not going to be anybody's cheerleading squad. And no, you don't get to bring out some pork chop preacher or some black front flunky who's going to give you their endorsement, put in the word for you, vouch for you. And we're supposed to come running and going, oh, well, since you got some black person to vouch for you, we're going to fall in lockstep. White supremacy has been treating us as if we're one gigantic monolith because in too many ways we've acted like one. We have interests, crucial interests, more crucial than anyone else's. But the problem is we haven't acted like it because we always sublimate our interests just to get a pat on the head from this or that political party or to try to get the white media to say, oh, the black vote is so important and this, that, their means of letting us have their way. In too many instances, we've gone for the okey-doke. our interests would immediately take a back seat to the same old, and everybody understood this is the plantation dynamic playing itself out all over again. Black folks have a full head of steam until white mommy and white daddy come up and pat us on the head, then all of a sudden, all is forgiven. And what we're showing is, nah, we ain't letting nothing go. And they understand exactly where this is going. We will have our tangibles on our terms to the extent and the quantity that we are satisfied with. And if not, just understand, as I've continued to tell you, disengaging from the electoral process, that's just the beginning of what we're going to do. They know exactly where this leads to. You see exactly where this leads to. And the United States has done this in enough countries, whether it was Chile, whether it was Bolivia, whether it was Brazil, and these days doing it in Venezuela. That's what happens when you have a certain portion of the population who says we are turning our back on the ballot box. People who turn their back on the ballot box, what that means is we're going to be seeking political changes outside the ballot box. Now, I'm not saying that we're there, but the thing about it is you got a group of people whose backs are to the wall and white power has been strangling us for resources, showing us that our lives are worth less than anything. Murdering black people in the streets is pretty obvious. That ballot box is not solving our issues. So maybe we need some homegrown solutions of our own. White power understands that. So it's important that they get us thinking, no. We're going to keep going along with this ballot box and we will keep abiding by whatever the outcome of the elections are. And we're just going to keep on playing this fool's errand and playing this game that's never been in our interest. And we're going to keep voting for Kamala Harris because surely she's one of us. No more. We're not going to have any more Judas goats. That's what Barack Obama's been. That's what Kamala Harris is. For those of you who are not familiar, those of you who don't know anything about farming or don't know anything about ranching or livestock, when it comes to goats in particular, sheep, they're very difficult to herd. And when you get the sheep in their pens and it comes time to finally send them to the slaughterhouse, there's usually a ramp leading up to the slaughterhouse. But sheep being notoriously difficult to herd or to direct or guide, what happens is you got to have a Judas goat that leads them up into the slaughterhouse. They'll follow whomever goes in first because sheep are pretty mindless. But the thing is with that Judas goat, you got to train the Judas goat correctly. That means the Judas goat gets to eat a little bit better than the rest of the sheep. And you make sure to treat the Judas goat real nice, and you make sure to brush its fur, and you make sure to pat it on the head, and you give it some extra treats, and you let it run around. You make friends with the Judas goat. You treat the Judas goat real nice. You train the Judas goat to follow your directions. Now, it's not because you have any long-term plans for the Judas goat, mind you. Why, the Judas goat gets to have the honor of being the first one up that ramp leading into the slaughterhouse. But you train the Judas goat because you want the Judas goat to mislead all the other sheep. See, the other sheep, they see how the Judas goat gets treated. Oh, look how they feed that Judas goat. Man, we get all these nasty, moldy oats. And the Judas goat, they feed him fresh food. He gets treated real nice. Oh, the Judas goat, he's going up this ramp. Well, we're going to follow behind him because surely if wherever the Judas goat is going, it's got to be a good place. And we want the same kind of treatment the Judas goat is getting. And that's exactly what they receive. The sheep receive the exact same treatment that the Judas goat is going to get. White supremacy always breaks its tools in the end. And the Judas goat is going to be the first one to get broken. But the other sheep wind up getting broken too because they followed someone who they shouldn't have been following. And that's how white supremacy has been treating us. You get some black mayor who claims to be on your side. You didn't choose this fool. White supremacy did. And he leads you to economic ruin. He gets you to sit on your hands so that white power can completely and thoroughly economically devastate your city or your county or your state. So hopefully people are figuring out black empowerment doesn't begin with the president. It doesn't begin with the senator. It doesn't begin with a governor or a mayor or a city council member. Black empowerment begins with you and me. We do not let anyone else come along and call themselves setting the agenda or trying to define the ideology. The white media has been fighting a war about that. That's what this whole fraud about reparations that the white media is putting forward has been, sending Ta-Nehisi Coates and Danny Glover and Julianne Malvo and some other losers to Capitol Hill because they're trying to define reparations, because what they see is it's being defined at the grassroots. White power must control every aspect of what the black community does, because white supremacy is not defined by how well white rank and file worker bees are doing. It's defined by how poorly black people are doing. That's what defines the health of white supremacy. If black people are down and out, then white supremacy could be missing both arms, both legs, ready to bleed out, but they'll still be looking and going, well, black folks are on their last legs, so that means we must be all right. That's how it works. But they have to get us and keep us listening to all of these fakers, frauds, fools, and phonies. Well, what's happening is more and more black people are breaking with it. Now, Gloria Borger, when she says that people are listening or taking a second look at Kamala Harris, she leaves out two important crucial points. First of all, who is it who's made it where people can readily find out about Kamala Harris? Yeah, there are people who are taking a second look at her, but who are these people? Is not white voters by and large, is the black ones. Kamala Harris has lost the most support among black people. And with black people, what happens is you get this process that feeds on itself. As the black vote decides that they're going to totally turn their backs on her, then what happens is what few white supporters she had, they look and go, well, hell, she can't even get black folks to vote for her. That means she ain't going anywhere. And they're right. And when Gloria Borger says that people are taking a second look at her, who provides the information? Who's been banging the drum the most to make sure that people have the most ready source of information about Kamala Harris? The New Voices of Black Media. So what CNN is desperately trying not to do is to say that it was the New Voices of Black Media helping to guide a critical mass of black folks that brought about the final collapse of Kamala Harris. I'm not going to go so far as to say that it's okay to call the time of death on her presidential dreams, but I will say that at this point here, she's run out of reset options. Going after Joe Biden, that was her trying to hit the reset button. Well, I think we've run out of reset buttons for her. And no, it wasn't Tulsi Gabbard who brought Kamala Harris down. Tulsi Gabbard simply had enough nerve that she was given by clearly what looking at us, where she decided that she would go ahead and pull one thread on Kamala Harris's sweater of lies and the whole damn thing fell apart. That wasn't Tulsi Gabbard's doing, that was our doing. Tulsi Gabbard simply, all she did was simply present to people what we have been saying all along. Kamala Harris was going to be deep six. Tulsi Gabbard simply was given enough nerve by what she saw us doing, and she wasn't doing it for our benefit. She's damn sure not our candidate. We don't have a horse in this race. But Tulsi Gabbard should not be given any credit, any more than Kamala Harris calling herself taking cheap shots at Joe Biden, tiptoeing around the issue, not bringing up the 94 crime bill, of course, not bringing up the 1986 Anti-Drug Abuse Act, the law that created the 100-to-1 sentencing disparity between rock cocaine and powder cocaine. She didn't bring up any of that. But she was trying to talk around the issue. Pretend to be at odds so you guys can still play golf with each other on Saturday. So for all the folks out there who thought that Kamala Harris was going to be saved simply by attacking Professor Black Truth, all you see is the process had already begun. You didn't save her from anything. Everything that I said was going to happen has now happened. Kamala Harris is in free fall. And the white media is already making it clear we're moving on from her. We're knocking the dust off our hands. And we're moving on. They're going to try to prop up old Jim Crow Joe Biden. But that's not going to work either. He's going to be the next one to feel the wrath. All of these clowns are. We're going to make sure that this is going to be an undeniable demonstration of the strength of the black community. This is going to be an undeniable demonstration of the influence of the New Voices of Black Media. We got these bastards shook up and running scared on a number of fronts. and a lot of their tools and a lot of their bootlicks and a lot of their hangers-on and operatives, they're finding out that they are completely impotent in the face of Black empowerment. What they're finding is the old game of, well, we're going to try to find a way to force you off of Facebook or force you off of Twitter. This thing's already taken on a life of its own. There are now a critical mass of Black people who have heard the message and are on board with it, that trying to kill the messenger or trying to find a way to silence the messenger ain't gonna work. And trying to flood the zone with a whole bunch of cherry-picked, hand-picked Negro puppets, like the clowns who CNN's going to be putting on, or Jonathan Capehart, or that whoever that idiot is over at the New York Times with that whole 1619 project, all of these white media-invented Black movements, and which are nothing more than a bunch of white media-generated PR stunts trying to figure out how to steal our thunder, they're going to try to manufacture their own counterfeit Black empowerment movements and Black empowerment operatives, individuals who are going to try to palm themselves off as being one of us. Oh, these guys are talking about it's important whether or not your ancestry goes back to the American plantations. Well, we're going to start something called the 1619 Project. Yeah, because you saw that what's happening is that you're not going to be able to fool us with the Kamala Harrises and the Sheila Jackson Lees. You're not going to be the Coleman Hughes. You're not fooling anybody anymore. What's happening is people are asking whether or not your ancestry goes back to the plantations. We're making that an issue. And no, you're not going to get Google to do an end run around us or to be able to put their thumb on the scales. Google did not create this movement, hence they don't have the power to kill it. The white media did not create the New Voices of Black Media, hence they don't have the power to stop us. White power understands that. The only ones who can stop us is whether or not Black folks start backsliding. White supremacy is desperate to see if they can get black folks to go back to their old failed habits and patterns. And we're fighting hard as hell to make sure that doesn't happen. So witness the fall of Kamala Harris. Witness the white media who doesn't know whether to spit or go blind. They know exactly where this came from. But they dare not say it because at the end of the day, they know that this is not just about Kamala Harris. This is about the forces of white supremacy that she is an operative for. This is about the forces of white supremacy that she's carried water for and fought on the behalf of her entire adult life. And that includes the white media. So they know that they can't really do anything as far as trying to point out who this came from because they don't have an answer for us any more than Kamala Harris did. They don't have an antidote to the New Voices of Black Media. They don't have a substantive counter lever or some sort of counter programming. They tried trying to flood the zone with a whole bunch of bootlicks on Capitol Hill. Didn't work. They tried going after us with their cherry-picked white media cable mouthpieces. That didn't work. Joy Reid couldn't do it. Roly Poly couldn't do it. Bakari Sellout couldn't do it. No, the old game is winding to a close. And the individuals who have been eating fat off of white supremacy, they're going to find now that, well, the old tricks and stunts just don't have the impact that they used to. The black sororities in your black boule, these guys are getting castrated. They're being politically and they're being influentially castrated. They are not going to have the ability to mislead black people. Black folks are going to slowly but surely gravitate away from them and toward us where they should have been all along. No, you will not be able to go to Big Bird. No, you will not be able to go to Charlemagne the Fraud. No, you will not be able to go to Angela Rye with lettuce and tomatoes on the side. No, you will not be able to go to any of your classic tools. We are breaking your tools. We're not waiting for white supremacy to break these tools. We're breaking them ourselves. This is an entirely new threat that white supremacy is faced with. A threat that they haven't faced in so long, they totally forgot that it was still there. Oh, they've always been scared of black genetic dominance. Those dominant genes. They've always been scared of black people's dominant genes. But what they hadn't seen was the political maturity and the economic focus that needed to go along with those genes. That they had not seen, but they're seeing it now. They're starting to see the first flickers of a flame that are going to start growing. And they got to douse that flame now. They got to snuff it out now. They got to find a way to smother it now. The only thing that can stop us is us. So you make sure that doesn't happen. You don't give white supremacy an opening. You stay engaged with the new voices of black media. What you see here and what you hear in places like this, you take it and you share it. It matters when you do that. It matters when you spread the word. I wasn't the one who made it where Kamala Harris became anathema to the black community. You did that. I could get out here till I'm blue in the face, and for a dark-skinned black man like me, that'd be a hell of a feat. But I could get out here till I was blue, green, orange with purple polka dots in the face, and it wouldn't have meant a damn thing. You're the ones who put the muscle behind the message, not me. I can get out here and say it all day long. If you guys just sit there, then the message is dead. But when you guys move, it becomes irresistible and unstoppable. You're the ones who everybody's been fighting over. You want to know who Kamala Harris was trying to deceive? You. When she got up there and did her little horse and pony show at Howard University, you were the ones who she thought she was fooling. You were the ones who she was trying to pluck the heartstrings of. You were the ones whose heart she was trying to get to go pitter-pat for her little cock and bull story. You're the ones who they've been trying to reach and to deceive. Because white supremacy stands on your shoulders. I'm trying to get you to move and throw white supremacy off your shoulders. Because once you do, they got nowhere to go but down. So make sure that you spread the word. Make sure that you let people know that you support this message. Give the video a like. Spread it on social media. You got a Facebook page. Post it there. You got a Twitter feed. Post it there. This is going to come down to a battle of wills. Who wants it more? White power's got billions of dollars and resources at their disposal. The only thing that the new voices of black media have is you. Now, in terms of money, the bad guys may outweigh us. In terms of raw numbers, the bad guys may have us outmanned, but we've got the bastards outclassed. And when we add focus and organization to our effort, then we have the advantage. It's not going to come down to just raw numbers alone. Ask the 1% about that if you doubt me. I'm trying to teach you to think in terms of power. See the world the way that white power does, because they got the upper hand. How they get the upper hand? Because they understood some of the raw truths about power that black people have allowed themselves to forget. So yes, it matters how involved you are. It matters whether or not every day, just like Professor Truth, you expect to have Professor Truth here to spread the message. You got to be there too. All of us have to be there. Black empowerment is a group sport. Yes, money matters, but organization and drive matters a hell of a lot more. And just in case you doubt me, just in case you wonder, really, do we have the ability through organization and dedication to overcome the massive financial and numerical advantage of the white supremacists? Do we, a largely disempowered but highly dedicated group of ideologues, have the ability to punish those who attack us and who attack our interests? Do we have that kind of power, you wonder? Ask CNN. Ask Tulsi Gabbard. Ask the white media. Or better yet, you could just ask Kamala Harris.